Good morning. Barb mentioned tomorrow's Mother's Day. Claren mentioned tomorrow's Mother's Day. And tomorrow is Mother's Day, as many of you know, and I'm sure you have plans, many of you, to honor this occasion for the role women play in keeping the family together. Because that's what they do. They keep the family together. And that ability is a God-given trait. And it's not just mothers that have special God-given traits that are unique to them. All women possess God-given abilities that allow them to be what men can't be, women. Today we're going to study those traits as we explore a woman of worth. And before we get too far ahead in the subject, let's go ahead and turn to the beginning here at Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. Genesis chapter 1, 27 to 28. When God created mankind, it wasn't just the male he created. He created the foundation of a family. So let's turn to Genesis 1, starting in verse 27. I'm going to read from the King James Version, which is just almost identical to the New King James Version, except for one word, and I'm going to highlight that in just a second. So here in Genesis 1, 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply." And here's where the word is a little bit different than what you have in the New King's Version. It says, "and replenish the earth." The New King James Version says, "fill the earth." But I think "replenish" maybe is a little bit more descriptive. "And replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." So you see, the instruction was to both the male and the female. Verses 27 and 28 illustrate the beginning of a partnership. Let's study that further by turning to Genesis 2 and verse 18. Genesis 2 and verse 18. We know that God created men and women on an equal level, and they're equal in the sight of God. And he gave each their own special role to play in the success of the family. Let's read here in Genesis 2:18 and see how that describes the role God gave to women. And again, I'm going to read from the King James Version, and you'll see why in just a minute. Genesis 2, verse 18. "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a help meet for him." That's what it says in the King James Version. Help meet. And it's two words, H-E-L-P-M-E-E-T. Well, let's look at that word, help meet. Well, we have to understand that the King James Version was written in 1611, and it was updated in 1769 from the original Old English into still an older English version for us with all the these and the thous. But it still contains words not common in today's modern English. And help meet is an example of that. The New King James Version, which many of you probably read, translates help meet as helper comparable to him. And the NIV states it as a helper suitable for him. And the Complete Jewish Bible states it as, "I will make for him a companion suitable for helping him." So we all kind of try to figure out what that means. And modern day dictionaries translate the word helper as an assistant. If you look it up in Webster's or any other dictionary, helper gets translated a lot to the word assistant. But that's not an accurate interpretation of what is meant in verse 18, especially in the King James Version. The word or words help meet, according to Webster's dictionary, should be translated, and we'll know this, helpmate. One word, helpmate, which has a whole different meaning than helper. And helpmate, you know, I like to look up words in the concordance, and helpmate is not listed in Strong's Concordance, so I had to go to the traditional Webster's Dictionary to find out, well, what does helpmate really mean? So I looked it up. And actually, I looked up helpmeet, and it said helpmeet is one who is a companion. Okay, well, that doesn't really help me a whole lot. So I looked up, what is a companion? Well, and a companion is one that accompanies one another. Okay, I'm still not, you know, totally clued in to what helpmeet means. So I looked up accompany. What does accompany mean? It says to go with as an associate. That sounds like that's a lower level to me. So what's an associate? So I looked up that, and it says a partner. I said, oh, okay, now we're getting somewhere. So what's a partner? A partner is one that shares, one who is a friend. So I said, okay, let me look up friend. So I looked up friend, and I think I found it. Friend, one attached to another by affection or esteem. So if we dig down, and I love to do this, so dig down into these words because you find out so much. So taking the word help meet, which is really help mate, and breaking it down to its core, we could read Genesis 2:18 as such. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a partner and friend who is attached to him in affection. And I think that's more clear. Eve was created to be one who shared with Adam. She was not to be an assistant in any way, shape, or form. She was created equal to Adam. Remember, if you go back and look at Genesis 1:27, it stated, and God blessed them. It didn't say, I blessed Adam or I blessed the man. It said, I blessed them. They were partners created by God to have dominion over the earth, subdue it, and replenish it or multiply. They were given two separate but equal roles and important roles. Yes, we men, we get the title of head of the family, but women have the role of nurturing the family, and that's a whole different thing. And we don't think of our mother any less than we think of our father, do we? No, we don't. So we have that squared away now, okay? God made it clear, wives are partners with their husbands. But what function does the wife fulfill? Well, we'll first review some historical information regarding how women in ancient Israel functioned and the roles they played before turning to Scripture here. And the research pertaining to the roles of women played in ancient Israel that I'm going to mention here today come from an article, Women in the Bible, a Bible resource study. When the word family is used in the Bible, it usually means either a clan or an extended family group. And it includes not only the parents, but the children and the aunts and the uncles and the cousins and the grandparents, etc. But it also includes those people that serve the family, is either free or working slaves. And slaves, there's a whole different connotation back then than it does that we're familiar with. And it included their families as well. So it was a huge group of people. The clan was a huge group of people. And the women's sphere of influence was the household and everything that related to it. So it's like an organization. The household's the organization, and it was run by the CEO, which was the woman. And the woman made the decisions within her household. With any clan, there was, of course, a central family, the one that kind of gave it its name. Like it would be the Borton clan, if the Joel and Sue were the matriarch or patriarch of their family. And the matriarch was the woman within the central family that had the highest social standing. And she was responsible for the well-being of all those members of the clan. the parents, the grandparents, the children, the cousins, the aunts, the uncles, and the free and the slaves. And everybody was there. And she made the day-to-day rules for the clan and resolved all the disputes. Who wants that job? That's a tough job. So that's the background leading into the main message here today, a woman of worth. Let's start by turning to Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10, which is we're going to spend most of our time, if not in that chapter and verse, but or verses, but dancing around that. But that's pretty much the central theme. But it's important for us to understand the partnership role that women have in the family, because it helps us understand the instruction from God and the instructions that he gives women in becoming successful partners to their husbands. And those not called, look at scripture verses that suggest that there's a certain role for women, that that's somehow demeaning. Well, God's people don't look at it that way. We look at it as to how God designed the family. So let's read here Proverbs 31. And we're going to read verses 10 all the way through 31. I'm going to read it just straight out with no interruptions, and then we'll go back and break it down into some verses, into some sections. So Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Well, that's a beautiful, beautiful statement there in Proverbs. And I love the translation. It reveals strength, yet tenderness. It points to independence, yet purposeful support for her husband and family. And all done out of love. True, deep love that only a woman can understand. And men, I think that's something we're going to learn in the kingdom. When we tell our wives we love them, we do. We love them. But we love by providing, by doing, by being men. Our nurturing side is weak. And that's okay, because that's who we are. But a woman's love includes nurturing. God gave them that ability so they could take care of the family. So when they say, "I love you," it's from that perspective. It's more tender and internalized. When our Father tells us he loves us, we feel all's going to be okay. When our mother tells us she loves us, we feel comforted. So there's a difference. The summary of Proverbs 31 is about a woman of position and ability. It speaks about a woman who has a large household and a way of supporting the family financially. She has a plot of land, knowledge, and charm. She is diligent, wise, and caring, devoted to her husband and to her family. So with that in mind, let's go back to Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10, and break down the meaning of a woman of worth. Let's look at verse 10. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. Well, let's start with defining the word virtuous, because virtuous is the central theme, basically, of this whole passage. So I looked it up, and I looked it up in Strong's Concordance, which I do a lot, and it's Strong's number 02428, and the transliterated word is spelled C-H-A-Y-I-L, and it's pronounced Hayil. How they get Hayil out of that, I don't know, but that's what they did. And it means strength, ability, efficiency, and wealth. So obviously, the stereotype of passive, weak, quiet, and incapable women, some believe the Bible suggests women are, is wrong. Totally, totally wrong. See, why would God create male and female in his image and then have one of them totally subservient to the other one, dependent upon them and be of less value? Well, he wouldn't. And he didn't. No, women were created to be strong, to develop their own individual abilities, to learn to be efficient in all that they manage and contribute to the family financially, not to be independent from men, as feminists today would like us to believe, but equal partners with their husbands, contributing to the success of the family with their focus on pleasing God. So let's move on to the second part of verse 10 here in Proverbs 31. The second part of the verse reads, "For her price is far above rubies." Well, how valuable are rubies? What does God say about the value of a woman of worth? Well, like it says here in verse 10, her value is far above rubies. Well, to get a perspective on that, let's stay in Proverbs, but this time go to chapter 3 and look at verses 13 through 18. So we've read here in Proverbs 31 that the price of a woman of worth is far above rubies. Well, how far above? And compared to what? Let's read here in Proverbs, beginning in verse 13, where it gives us some clarity on that. Proverbs 3, verse 13. "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days in her right hand, in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her." So, a woman of worth has a value above rubies, and rubies here is compared to wisdom. So a woman of worth has a value far above wisdom, because wisdom is being equated to rubies. So a woman of worth, therefore, has a value comparable to that of having wisdom or greater. So ladies, that's quite a compliment. But it's also quite a challenge. It sets the bar high for what God expects. And men, we're to love our wives. Now I see why. Well, this is one of the reasons, but not only because God commands us to do so, but because their value is far above rubies and comparable to that of obtaining wisdom. So, gentlemen, That's quite a challenge for us as well. Well, let's continue on here in verses 11 and 12 of Proverbs 31. So we have to turn back there if you're not there already. Verses 11 and 12 speak of a relationship between a man and his wife. The importance of this valued partnership. Let's see what it says there. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. So what's the key word there? Trust. Trust is important in any relationship, and without it, it won't work. And this is true in marriage. It's true between friends. It's true in the workplace. So I wanted to look up the word trust. And so I did in Strong's Concordance. And I'll just give you the definition here. It means to feel safe. And here in verse 11, it says, the heart of her husband trusts her. Strong's definition, again, is to feel safe, but it also says it's the inner man, the inner person, the will, the mind, the innermost part of the soul. So such is a virtuous woman. Her husband trusts her deeply. He has confidence in her. He feels safe down to the innermost part of his soul, and she cares deeply for him. She will never cause him harm, but only do good for him, as it says here in verse 12, all the days of her life. She is dependable, and her husband knows it. And in all situations, she will speak with the prudence and discretion necessary, so as not to cause him either damage or embarrassment, or the family. She contributes so much to his contentment and satisfaction that he doesn't lack. He has no need to look elsewhere for those needs. Well, there's another word to look up. So he will have no lack of gain. What does lack mean? Well, lack is the same word, the same Hebrew word used in Psalm 23, verse 1. Joel referenced Psalm 23 earlier. Let's go back there. The transliterated word for lack or want, because it's the same word, is kaser. It's spelled C-H-A-C-E-R. And it means to have no need, whether you use the word lack, the English word lack, or the word want, the English word want. The Hebrew word is kaser. So let's read in Psalms 23:1 and see what it says and what the context is. Psalm 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Kaser. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me besides the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So the summary of Psalm 23, which we pretty much all know, is that David had tremendous confidence in God. He felt safe. God gave him peace, serenity, comfort. David did not want. He did not lack. Well, such is the husband of a virtuous woman. The trust is deep. She truly is, in every sense, a peacemaker to him, to the family. She is an oasis of peace. She considers how to make life easy, to provide what is necessary for her, her husband, and the family, for him in sickness, and attending to him with diligence and tenderness. And she does this with joy, and not just one day a week, when all things are rosy once in a while. She gladly does all, and for the women, the Christian women in the church, not only because she loves him, but to please God. This is why she does these things. So let's look at verses 13 through 31. And we won't go over those in great detail, but let me just read the verse and then the what it says here. So I'm not going to go into detail. I'll just highlight each one. So look at 13. She says, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. So she's active. She's doing something. She's not just sitting around. Verse 14, she is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. And I'm going to say it. She's a good shopper. Okay? My wife is one of the best shoppers in the world. I'm sure many of you ladies out there are the same way. Well, here's a verse that indicates that that's part of the God-given ability. Verse 15, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. So she gets up early. How many women out there get up early? Yeah. Okay. How many men sleep late? Okay. We know. So you get up early. My wife gets up every morning at 6 o'clock and puts the bird seed out because she wants them to have food before the sun comes up. Okay. That takes diligence. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. From her profit, she plants a vineyard. She's enterprising. She's out there. 17, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. So she's hardworking. Many of you have been to the Wisconsin Dells. And there's, and I hope I get the nationality correct, there's a Swedish restaurant that we go to. And there's an older woman there that's kind of like the matriarch, the clan. And this woman has got that strength. You can see it in her hands and in her arms and in her face and the way she conducts herself. And that's what I thought of when I read verse 17. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She's not sitting around doing nothing. This is a hardworking woman, a virtuous woman. Verse 18 says, she perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. So she gets up early and she stays up late. She works late. She's not sitting around. Verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. So not only does she work to get a lot of things done, she works with her hands. Verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's generous and compassionate, I get from that. And we see that with you ladies all the time. You have a nurturing nature. And we men hope to do that, but it's just something that you do. Verse 21, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. So she's not afraid, and she provides the household needs. Treks through the snow to do whatever she needs to do. Verse 22, she makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. So while doing all this, she presents herself well. She takes care of herself in what she wears and how she looks. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. So she brings honor by reputation to her husband. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. So she's industrious. Not only does she buy a field, she makes clothes and sells them. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. So not only does she bring honor to her husband, which then is to the family, she brings honor to herself as well. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. So she's far above rubies in worth, and here it is. She displays the wisdom that is due to her and that she lives by. Verse 27 says, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So she watches over everybody. She doesn't sit around. She keeps busy. She's caring for everybody else. It's not just a duty to do it. She truly cares about everybody in that family, that extended family. Verse 28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. So her character is noticed by her children. Her character is noticed by her husband and they praise and bless her because of it. Verse 29 says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. So the husband continues, and should. You know, men, we don't do a good job there of praising our wives in public, recognizing the contribution that they give to us and to the family. And this is what the husband in this verse is making reference to. He is letting her know how much he appreciates her. Verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. She's God-fearing, and she knows the importance of what she's doing is God-ordained, and it's God's will. Verse 31, give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So she's deserving of praise. You see, real honor comes through humility and the fear of the Lord, as it says in Proverbs 22 and verse 4. So let's turn back there. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. Some are praised above what their due is, but the humble don't seek recognition. A virtuous woman is deserving of all our praise. Let's read here Proverbs 22 and verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. A woman of worth leaves it to her own works to praise her and does not chase after approval. Rather, she does all things for the glory of God. This is the core belief, the core guideline that she follows. So Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 depicts the qualities of a woman of worth, a woman called by God to fulfill his will. She fears the Lord. She respects and does good to her husband all her life. She brings honor to her husband and her family and her children, and she looks after her children. She manages the home. She provides food and clothing for her family. She is a hard worker. She invests the household money. She speaks softly. She's not decked with fancy apparel and a hairstyle, but rather she's adorned with good works. Her virtuosity is known far and wide, and she is blessed by her family and rewarded with praise from her husband. And she's a public example of a godly woman. She indeed is more valuable than rubies. And this is who you are. This is what God had in mind when he created male and female. And this is the role God wants women to portray. And I think that's quite a role. When you look at all the things that you do and are entrusted with, it's a tremendous, tremendous responsibility, but yet very valued. One of the most difficult things to do is to yield to someone else. But yielding does not mean being diminished. There's a difference. Women, when yielding to your husband as the head of the household, it is not giving up all ability to make decisions, as we've seen here, all the decisions that lie with the woman of the household. And we see here today that it's important and it's a God-given role. And he wants and he expects and he commands that for women. And men, we need to yield to our wives and let them fulfill the role God gave them. It's what he wants. It's what he expects. And it's what he commands. When men fulfill their God-given role and women fulfill their God-given role, the family succeeds. Society succeeds. Tomorrow's Mother's Day. But let's celebrate all women, partners in marriage, partners in family, partners in life, partners in God's kingdom.